Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome to another enlightening episode of Islamic Upbringing, where we dive deep into the essential aspects of nurturing your youth in line with Islamic teachings. In this program, our discussions are rooted in the guidance of the Holy Quran and the timeless wisdom of Hadith from our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family, and the insightful narratives of our noble Imams. I'm glad to have with us today Brother Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, a research scholar from the Seminary of Qom, who possesses a wealth of knowledge in both Islamic studies as well as psychology. So, Brother Liaqat Abbas, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sister.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
So we have been talking about the strategies that parents and educators can apply to help the teenagers to navigate different sorts of challenges. Brother, you know, previously you told us that there are some strategies that are specific to parents, there are some strategies that are specific to educators. We discussed the strategies that parents can apply, basically. So I would want you to go ahead with the strategies of the educators to help the teenagers navigate certain issues.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are a few things which are common for the parents and the educators. But as the first thing, which is exclusively for the educators, is creating an inclusive environment, like having an environment where all the students feel accepted and valued, is very important.
Okay.
Like giving value
no
to
favoritism.
Each. No, definitely. Yeah, of course. Even if the person has it, he's not going to show it in front of the class. He's not going to say, oh, you know what? This person is the best.
Yeah.
All of you, the rest are waste, example, or useless, yeah, or hopeless. You're not going to, you see? So being valued is very important. Okay.
So sometimes like teacher thinks that they are appreciating one student. But they have to, even if they want to appreciate, they have to appreciate in a way the others do not feel disheartened.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Or example, if you want to correct someone, correct in a way the educator or the teacher, example, should correct in a way that the person shouldn't get hurt. Like he or she should accept it in a positive manner. Okay. So this is one way, like when a kind of environment is created,
yeah,
where everyone is valued, where,
yeah,
everyone is respected, I would say, then the challenges are easier to navigate. Example.
Yes.
The second thing is, of course, open dialogue, encouraging open dialogue, which will give the students, the teens example over here in our example, it will give them space to discuss their challenge, to share their experience.
Yeah. Yeah?
When there's an open dialogue in the class, example,
yeah,
me, example, if I'm a teen, okay, I'm going to share my experience. My friend is going to share his experience. My other classmate is going to share his experience. And all together, like, we can have a solution upon a particular challenge, okay? Example, how to overcome the haram stuff, example, okay,
yeah,
which is portrayed in today's world, okay,
yes,
example, how to overcome alcoholism, example, okay,
yeah.
So I'm going to give a strategy, my friend is going to give a strategy, my classmates are going to give their strategies, so in this manner, so this open dialogue system is very important to be held in the classes, I would say,
okay,
for the educators. It shouldn't be only from the educator. The educator should also listen to the teens or to the students.
Yeah.
And this open dialogue should happen when he or she is conducting classes.
Yes.
The third, I would say, which is very important, is recognizing the signs of distress as an educator.
Okay.
Educator should have this quality. The educator should recognize if there's the amount of anxiety levels, the amount of distress, the amount of depression, example, if any teen is facing, example,
yeah,
okay?
Recognize it,
yeah. This should be there, yeah, in the educator, in the teacher. Why? Because, example, if
let's explore further on that note after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned, don't go anywhere.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. take hold of your iman. Don't give in to Shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin, wa Khaliquna, wa Rasiquna, wa Huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. Brother Liaquat Abbas is here, and we are discussing certain strategies that educators can apply to help teenagers navigate certain sorts of challenges. You said a different. You told us some of the strategies, and you were explaining one of them. So I want you to continue.
Okay. So I was saying recognizing the signs of distress and anxiety. You know, when a teen has anxiety, okay, and like about a particular thing. Example, whenever a question is asked to the teen, he gets anxiety, okay? He gets anxious about it. He gets distressed about it, example. So over here, it's very important that you don't point out, you don't point to that teen to stand up and tell the answer or explain it.
All right.
Because the anxiety, the levels are going to increase in that teen, okay? The teen might face a kind of shamefulness because he's unable to explain it to the class, okay?
Yeah.
If you find the anxiety levels increasing or depression levels increasing, distress increasing, then let it go. It's okay. And you can privately address the issue with the teen, example, okay? Because now there is a challenge being faced by the teen. His anxiety is a lot, okay? This is a challenge. You as an educator, you can't pull the teen onto the stage. Example, me as an educator. Okay?
Yeah. So I will add something here. Mm-hmm. I'm an educator. I'm teaching somewhere, and I do face whatever you're saying right now. I really actually can feel it. And, you know, I have a student, and she got very less marks in her written paper. And then the administration told me, we don't want her report card to get read. Could you just retake the exam? Yes, we know she's very weak. She's anxious and all. But try to retake exam because, like, we just want this report card to be green so that she does not feel further anxious in future.
Mm-hmm.
So I just happened to talk to this child first. And I told her, like, you wrote very well. But why did you stop writing? And then she told me, because she forgot.
Mm-hmm.
I told her, okay, if you forget things, just imagine I'm someone and I don't know this thing. How do you tell this thing to me? And she explained in a way unimaginable.
Mm-hmm.
And that I happened to give her full marks later. Because like I took an oral test and I told her, see, when you explain things, you explain in a much better way. You explained even I was like, I was content with your explanation. So it was kind of trying to, you know, boost her confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So some people, if you feel like, I think the school expected me to take a written test again, but I felt I should go with oral one.
Yep.
Because I know if I'm going to take written again, the result is going to be same. So I would see where the problem is actually.
Yeah.
So the girl was anxious, basically writing the answer. So I just told her, okay, I'm sitting here. I'm a student. You explain things for me, but in a very playful way. And she was able to, you know.
Amazing.
So yeah, like if you as an educator are able to recognize and then apply the strategies in different way to reduce that anxiety, it really works. I just added that out of experience.
Excellent.
We'll discuss more with you, brother. Let's take a short break here and we'll be back in a while.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, a righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise.
Ya muqiyal khayrat,
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and Brother Liaquat is here with me in the studio. We were talking about some of the strategies that, you know, educators can apply to help teenagers navigate through certain challenges. Mm-hmm. Brother said that recognize as an educator the points of despair, the times when they feel anxious, and try to help them navigate the situation. Yeah.
Yep. So just like you have said about the marks and the numbering system, unfortunately, many teens face this. Yeah, the anxiety levels. Just like we have discussed it even in the previous episodes. Yeah, about how they are concerned about their marks, and if they get less marks, what would be told to them by their parents, about what will be told to them by their teachers, example, how will the school look at them or the university look at them, yeah? How will the society look at them? These are all like the stress parts of a teen, example. Anyways, so over here, it's very important for the educator, like, and unfortunately about the mark system, I would say like the oral test example, which you have taken, I would say was really amazing. Where you see the potential of your student over here. And of course, the anxiety of writing the exam is not there for your student, isn't it? So that anxiety, you have removed it. You see the challenge. But you know what? Over here, like everywhere, in every single place, the anxiety remains or reduces for a while and might hit in the same place, in the same situation, when the person is kept again in the same situation in the future life. So over there, it's very important to help the child navigate through anxiety by giving him or her different strategies. And over here, another strategy which comes and plays a very important role is to engage parents. The educator should engage the parents of this particular child.
I remember the head of our institution said in a parent-teacher meeting that we are a triangle. One corner of this triangle is the students themselves, one corner is the parents, and one corner is the teachers, educators. Mm-hmm. These do not get separated. They go along, and yeah, they do go along. So while engaging parents...
Yeah. So when you're engaging parents, communicate regularly with them, with the parents.
Keep them updated.
About the child's progress.
Don't give them shock after 4 months.
Exactly, yeah. Keep them updated. Like, tell them about the child's progress and challenges, and like provide resources for like education, for additional support at home, you see. When this open dialogue system happens by the educators and the students, you know, one of the things what the educators can do is they can note down the challenges of the teen. Example, the teen is going to say, more openly to the educator than the parents, example. Okay, this can happen. Maybe like I'm more free towards my particular teacher than my parents. Example, okay? This is there.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that the educator knows about the challenges of this particular teen, he writes it down and he's going to be like, okay, he's going to engage the parents like in a manner. Of course, he
should
know.
That really is helpful for the child.
Yeah, which should be helpful. It shouldn't cause him pain. It shouldn't cause him, example, distress.
It should not give adverse effects.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you, brother, for all those insights and helping us. Yeah. Thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. This was all for today's episode. Until another episode, take very good care of yourself. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life for